Before we start to speak on the actual Haggadah, I'll just say a couple of words about the Leila Seder. The Kedushas HaLaila is so great. I'll repeat a vort from the Tiferes Shloimeh, the Radomska. The Tiferes Shloimeh once said as follows: at the end of the Haggadah in Va'amatam Zevach Pesach, we say, Kahal Kinsa Hadasa L'Shalish BaPesach, that Esther went and L'Shalish BaTzoyim BaPesach. Esther went and she got together Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael should fast on Pesach. We know it says Vayava Mordcha, so Vayava Mordcha, we know the Gemara tells us that he was over on Pesach. He went and he sat in a tainis. So the Tiferes Shloimeh asks a Mordig Akasha. The question is that this was Pesach time. The Gzeirah was Lahashma de Laharik, to kill all of Klal Yisrael first, 11 months later, because the time that Klal Yisrael was supposed to get killed was supposed to be on the following Purim. Now, if that's the case, Fregnet Feshloim, Gevaldige Kasha, why did Esther go and decide to make the Tainus on Pesach, and by making the Tainus on Pesach, now Klal Yisrael had to be over, and they had to fast on Pesach? Big deal, Matzah Pesach, go and make the Tainus. You have another 11 months to make the Tainus, and you'll have time before the next Purim Avada to be Mevatel the Gzeira. Why specifically did she do the Tainus in Zman when Klal Yisrael would be over on this issue of Ayava Mordcha? So the Tiferes Shloimeh says that Esther knew that in Shemayim they're waiting for the Leila Seder. They're waiting with such anticipation. The Rebbeinu Shloim and the Pamal Yishamala are waiting for Klal Yisrael to go and be Mekayim, Mitzvahs Matzah, Mitzvahs Murar, and all the other Mitzvahs Halayla, the Haggadah, the Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, in order to be Ma'orer Rachmim in Shemayim, what Esther did was, she said, you know what? This year, on Pesach night, is going to be a Tainus. Because it was by day and by night. And if there's going to be a Tainus Pesach night, what's going to happen is, in Shemayim, there's going to be such a Hisoiris, because what's going to happen is, they're going to be waiting for that regular Seder, which the Pamalia Shalmala and the Rebbeinu Shalom waits for every single year, with such anticipation. And then, when that does not happen, the Pamalia Shalmala, they're going to say, why didn't this happen this year? And the Teretz is going to be because Klal Yisrael is in a Moed Getzura and there's a Gzeir Lahashmer de Laharig as Kala Yehudim. And therefore, automatically, the Rebbeinu Shloim was going to go and give us that tremendous amount of Rachamim. I'll just repeat to you what it says in the Sfasemes. If you want to know how high the night of Pesach goes, the Sfasemes tells us there's a Lushan in Sof Masech Tzpsochim. The Gemara says, Kezaisa de Pischa Ipuka Igra. So the Gemara says, which the Pushat Pshat is, that Kezaisa de Pischa, after they ate the Kezaisa de Kabam Pesach, Ipuka Igra, the roof went up through, from the song. You know, the room went up in song. So the Sfasemes says that the mouth of the person is what says Shirat Ribon Shalom on Pesach. As we discussed yesterday, the inyan of Pesach. And we know that a person is a combination of Gashmias and Ruchnias. And usually, the Gashmias and Ruchnias stay together, because the Ruchnias is put into a Gashmias tikaguf, and we remain usually tied together. Zuktav Svasemes, Kezaisa the Pischa. When a person, after eats the Kezaisa the Pischa, and he starts to say Shira, he should know, Puka Igra, the mouth, the guf of the person, goes right through the ceiling, because he cannot anymore be contained by the guf. The ruchnius is so high on Pesach night that the mouth has the koyach to be bekeya through all rekiim on Pesach night. I'll repeat to you a vort from the Chasam Sofer. We know that on Pesach night there are many different zeichers that we make on Pesach night. For example, the Rashbam speaks about this in Bava Basra. How come there's no zeicher for the chipuzen? Firstly, that's a famous discussion. So he says there is a zeicher for the chipuzen, that we eat the matzah in the with time limitations. That's the first that's the first way of having chippuzim. We have to eat bechadei achilas pras. Others say that when mekayim the zecha to the chippuzim, that when a person goes and makes a seva, the food gets digested quicker, and that's a way of making the chippuzim. But the Maril brings down an interesting minig, which is brought down in Simon Tufayim Beis and Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam brings the minig of the Maril. The Maril would go and take kalim nuim by the night of the seder, and he would put it around, take a table, and he would put out all the most magnificent kalim that he actually had. The Maril was a wealthy man. It's interesting to note, where did the Maril have all this money from? The Maril was a ruv in the city, and in Hilchus Chanukah, the Maril writes that his profession was to be a shadchan. In the community, that was the job of the ruv, was to be the shadchan. The ruv of the city came and read anybody a shidduch, everybody naturally listened. And from that job, he made a lot of money. So it's an interesting profession that the Maril had. And from the money he made, he used to lend money to goyim. He used to lend money to the goyim with ribbis. And after he got as collateral, he got kalim nuim from the goyim, and he would display those kalim on Pesach night. Avram asks the Gevaldik Kasha. The Mogen Avram asks that what right did he have to use those kalim? Those kalim did not belong to him. Those kalim actually belonged to goyim. So the Mogen Avram asks, how was he allowed to use those kalim? If you take a look in the Machsa Shekel, there's a beer to it. But the Chasam Sofer Al Pidrush says a very interesting pshat. The Chasam Sofer says, and the Chasam Sofer learned something which goes a lot further than the push of Shat, how we understand the Maril. The Chasam Sofer learns that he actually went and used those kalim. And the Chasam Sofer asks on himself a Moed Gekasha. If he actually went and used those kalim, how is he allowed to use those kalim? We know that anytime you use a kalim that belongs to a goy, you have to do tefillas kalim. And the Chasam Sofer asks on himself, if he actually used the kalim, what did he do with tefillas kalim, which was obviously his obligation? If you would like to know exactly what was going on here with the Maril and this Kalim, the Chasam Sofer says that one of the Zeichas we try to make Pesach night is a Zeichat to the Rechush Gudel that we actually had when we came out of Mitzrayim. And how do you make a Zeichat to the Rechush Gudel? Zuk the Chasam Sofer, what you have to do is you have to take out Kalim. And who did the Kalim have to belong to? Dafke Kalim that belonged to the Goyim. Because what did the Rebbeinu Shlalom do? The Rebbeinu Shlalom went and took the Kalim, the kalim that belonged to the goyim, and he said, here's the kalim that belonged to the goyim, and I'm giving it to you. You see, the goyim came and they lent their kalim to Klai Yisrael, and the yidim went and they used the goyish kalim. There's a very yidu the medrash. The medrash says, hayom ru vayunois, right? Ma ru vayunois, ru Yisrael buim irchish Mitzrayim beyudam. As Klai Yisrael was coming, they were coming along with the Rechish of the Mitzrayim in their hand. And this the Rebbeinu Shlom Davke did in order to show us his tremendous chesed that he was giving to us on Pesach night. And that's why the Maril was makbid Davke to use the kalim that he took from the Goyim. Because the kalim that he had from the Goyim, that were borrowed from the Goyim, that's the only way to really make a Zeicha to the Rechish Gudol. But Rabbi say, when we use kalim of Goyim, the Chasam Sofer tells us, we get ourselves into a tremendous problem. And that is that usually when we use kalim of goyim, the keli has a hashpua on the person. There's a gevaldige vot which is said over from the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker Rebbe says that if we wonder, Yaakov Avini went and he was able to go and use, he was able to say, Ani Esav Becharecha. So we know all the truth in the Gemara Masechta Shviyas tells us exactly how he was able to say that. But the Kotzker Rebbe says, do you want to know how Yaakov Avini was able to go and say something which is even a white lie? It says, Titan Emes Le Yaakov. If Yaakov Avini was killing Midas HaEmes, Zuk the Kotzker Rebbe, because once Yaakov Avini went and he took to him, he put on a keli, that this keli belonged to Esav, the keli had a hashpur on him, and once it had a hashpur on him, he was able to do something similar to Esav. So when we go and we take kalim from goyim, we put ourselves at a tremendous risk. How could you go and take a keli that belongs to a goy? Don't you realize that keli is going to have a hashpur on you? There's only one night a year that we can do that, and that's on Pesach night. Because the kedusha that exists on Pesach night is such a dehoimene kedusha that there is no problem. A person can go on Pesach night, and even the keli of the goy is elevated to the level where he can actually go and use that keli. Therefore, one second, Ari, just one second. Therefore, Zuktach Sam Seifer, Pesach night, Zuktach Sam Seifer, the Maril can take the Goyisha Kalim and Savot, and Sahaf, and the Gavot Alpidrush, and not toivel them. And he had no concern of the effect that the keli would actually have on him. And the Chasam Sofer says, if you would like to see a remez ladova, he says, bo ochicha bim mirmu, ki yidua bim mirmu zbigamatria afikoymen. Because what was that? That story happened on Pesach night. And that's why Rivka Taka had no concern to take the kelim of Esav and give them over to Yaakov. But this is all that happened on this Moedig night of Leil Pesach. Yeah, Ari, what do you want to say?
First of all, that was Pesach night when
Yaakov
did that. Then how come?
Listen, the Kotzker Rebbe and the Chasam Soiva are two different words. I was just trying to bring out with the Kotzker Rebbe, 100%, I was going to say it in a moment, that the Kotzker Rebbe was just trying to bring out that you see that what effect it can have. The Chasam Soiva Taka learned it didn't have any effect. If you look in the Gemara says he was allowed to do it. The Gemara says that he was allowed to do it because it says that it's mutter when if a Rusha has a Sefer Torah, you're allowed to say a white lie in order to steal it away from him. The Gemara in Shriya Taka is Miyash, but Yaakov Avinu didn't do anything wrong. What's that?
He said that in the Kosh Mitzrayim, Hashem gave them the refu before the matter because he knew the Kaisel will be over the ego.
Right.
This was a betoyla. That's because of the rechosh that they took out of Mitzrayim.
So, this what? I didn't hear you.
The one that were over on the eagles because they took the rechosh from Mitzrayim.
Right. So yes. So you see, the vort goes in both directions. Okay. Do you want to say something else?
Is that a hesed after the title place?
No. I was very clear when I said the vort. It's a gavald gavod al pidrush. I stressed that very carefully. I'll tell you one more point, which is a beautiful point, which is brought down in the Sfasemes. The Chasam Sofer writes that we know that on when it comes to the zman of Yom Kippur, we do shivim meira. When it comes to the zman of Pesach, a person ends up doing Shiva Meyahava. So there's the idea that from the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that's why on Pesach, what happens is when you do Shiva Meyira, so the Averis become Shkugas. When you do Shiva Meyahava, so the Shkugas become Mitzvahs. So there's the idea that from the Chasam Sofer, that's why on Aseis Mechiva we go Tashluch, because the Shkugas we don't want. When it comes to Pesach, we go Mayim Shaluni, because they become Mitzvahs, and we take back our own Averis. The idea that from the Chasam Sofer. So the Sfasem is Bamex, if you take a look, the removal brings down in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah that when it on a Seishim Shiva we don't eat nuts, and the reason is because egois is begematria chet. If you take a look at the Ramu in Hilchos Pesach, it says on Pesach night mechalkin kloyes egoisen. You give to the children, you give out nuts to them. So what's the pshat? How come do you give them back nuts? So the Teretz says when it comes, if nuts are begematria chet, and when it comes to Pesach night, our chatum all become mitzvahs. So pink faket, we'd like to take our averus back, and that's the time we would like to give them out to our children. I'll get here to a word from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Shlomo Zalman Orbach once asked that we have an Inyan in Arba Koises. So Shlomo Zalman asked, why is it that we have Arba Koises? Why don't we have four apples, four nuts? What's the Inyan Dafka in four Koises? So Shlomo Zalman says, if you take a look at the Inyan in the Arba Koises, they're all Merumas connected to Pusik, right? If you take a look at the Mefarshim on the Pusik, every geula was a greater geula than the previous one, which means first they were subservient with a shibbet. Then they were removed, they had no shibbet anymore of kaishia shibbet, but they still had to pay to them taxes, for example. Then they stopped paying taxes, and they went and they started to be, but they still was subservient to them in Ruchnius. And slowly but surely, each one was the previous one, plus a little bit more. Now, Dr. Shlomo Zalman, if you want to go and make a zecha to this, how they got out of Mitzrayim, Dr. Shlomo Zalman says, let's take a look what you can possibly do. If you would like to go and eat four apples, so when you eat the first apple, you enjoy the apple very much. When you eat the second apple, you enjoy the second apple a little bit less. And when you eat the third apple, you don't want to look at an apple anymore, and you probably can't eat it anymore. So Shlomo Zalman says, what's the only thing that you can eat that every single time you have a little bit more, it's the first one, that plus more. What's that? When you drink, right? I'm not trying to advocate people going to drink, but for Pesach night, this is what happens. The first the Yayin Levaven makes Yisod. The first time you drink a Kais of Yayin, that gives you that Koyach that the Kais actually gave you. Afterwards, after you drink one Kais of Yayin, all you have an interest is having another Kais, but when you have the second Kais, you have two Kaises of Yayin. And therefore, the Chasam Sofer says, we bedafka went and picked Pesach night to do the zecher to these four lashonos of Geila dafka with Yayin. Now, there's an interesting minig, which is not everybody had this minig. Reb Chaim Brisker was very against it, and that is that the children go on Pesach night and they steal the afikoymen. Now, the question is, Reb Chaim Brisker was very upset about it. He said that's not something we should educate our children that they should steal. And if you think about it, if you take a look, the Lushna Ramam is choitfin. They used to grab it, derech simcha. There's another Lushna that they used to put it away. I mean, it happens to be there's a very interesting story that's brought down in one of the Friediger brings down that in his house one year they forgot to eat the afikoymen. And as they were about to bench, so one of the children said, no, you're not going to bench. I didn't get my present yet for the afikoymen. So there's a story brought down that the afikoymen is dafka in another time is that you shouldn't forget about it. But what's the inyan in stealing the afikoymen, which would seem to be is not totally appropriate Pesach night, which is the night of Vigad to Levincha, the night that we try to be mechanach our children with every possible mitzvah imaginable, suddenly we're stealing the afikoymen. What's this business that we're stealing the afikoymen? So, in order to understand that, firstly, we can go back to something which we said already, and that was that Pesach night, we have a special remes to make. And the remes to make is that Yaakov went and stole the b'chori from Esav, which was Pesach night. Bim Mirma, we said before, was taka the gematria of the afikoymen. So it could be that the Inyan stealing the afikoymen is a zeicha to the story of Yaakov and Esav. But it doesn't really answer the question, because it's still inappropriate to teach our children to steal. In the Haggadah Mili Diuv, he says an interesting pshat. We know the Zoya tells us that if you take a look in the Aseres Adibris, there are a whole bunch of psiks, right? It says Lo Sirtzach psik, right? It keeps on being a line or a snachta. The Balkarius here can tell you Yitzchak can tell us the full system with how it works by the Aseres Adibris. But the Zoya says, what is the reason why it says Lo Sirtzach and a psik? Why does it say Lo Signoiv and a psik? Zuk the Zoya. If it said Lo Sirtzach and Lo Sirtzach was written without a psik, then it would be Lo Sirtzach never, which means you're never allowed to kill. If it said Lo Signoiv and it didn't say a psik, it would be that you're never allowed to steal. So the Zoya, now that it says Lo Sirtzach and a stop, it comes to tell us don't steal, but once in a while you're allowed to steal. What's the case that you're allowed? I'll tell you which case. Don't take it for granted. What is the case that you're allowed to steal? So the Zoya, the case you're allowed to steal, I'm sorry, Lo Sirtzach, when you're allowed to kill, to give Dalad Mises Bezin. If it didn't say the psik, you wouldn't allow to do Dalad Mises Bezin. Now that it says the psik, you're allowed to do Dalad Mises Bezin. Now, for example, Lois Signoiv, when are you allowed to steal? So usually you should never be allowed to steal. Zuchte Gemur and Bruches, you know when you're allowed to steal. If you want to do Geneva's Das, to steal the Das of your Rebbe who has a certain mitzvah or a certain Chochmas HaTorah, and the Rebbe refuses to share this Chochmas HaTorah with you, so what you're allowed to do is, you're allowed to sneak up behind the Gemur, says Masechtes Bruches, in situations where he would not have liked you to know what he's doing, right? And as the Gemur brings three different stories of people that went and snuck behind the Rebbe, and the Rebbe looked at them and says, what kind of chutzpah is this? What are you doing to me? And the response was, Torah hivitzarech lilmoid. If it's coming to learn Torah, then I am allowed to go and to steal this bit of knowledge from you. So the Sefer Mildiyavis says, Gevaldige Remes. The Remes, he says, is that the Loshna Afikoymen is Afiki Mon. Afiki means to extract, to remove from somebody. Mon, we know, Loinitna Torah El Loichle Hamon. The way we Meramas the Torah is always through the Mon, because Mon was given for the people who should be learning Torah, who should not have to have the obligation to support themselves. All they should do is sit and learn Torah. So therefore, he says, the remes is afike mon, when it comes to stealing the mon, on behalf of the Torah. Like, for example, when somebody's Rebbe has a bit of knowledge, and that bit of knowledge that he has, he would like to take it out of his Rebbe, and a chanami, in that oifin, it is an oifin hamutah. I saw that the Ksav Sofer was sitting, I'm sorry, the Michtav Sofer was sitting by the Seder of the Chasam Sofer, and he asked his grandfather, what is the shayrish of stealing the afikoymen? So he writes that the Chasam Sofer did not answer him by the Seder, the Chasam Sofer did not respond to him, and after the Seder, the Chasam Sofer called him over, and the Chasam Sofer said, I want to tell you the answer to the Akasha. He said, the answer to the Akasha is, the Gemara says in the end of Masechtas Pesachim, le'sidah b'mosad le'novach kalba, a person should shouldn't live in an area without no dogs. Why should a person not live in an area without no dogs? Because if a stranger comes into an area, a ganif comes in. So what happens when a ganif comes in? The dogs detect when something is a little bit strange and they come running over and they either bark or they make a certain sound with their tongue, and you can hear that a ganif is here. So it's a shmira to live in an area where there are dogs. That's what the Gemara tells us in the Sechtes Psochem. So Chassam Sofer said a gewaldige word. Chassam Sofer said, we know that on Pesach night it was Lechol B'nei Yisrael Lo Yecherat Kelev L'Shoinoi. None of the dogs went and even sharpened their tongue. So if none of the dogs even sharpened their tongue, so what happened? There was no shmir for Ganovim. So Chassam Sofer said, in order to show that the a zecher for the Lo Yecherat Kelev L'Shoinoi, therefore the kids go and they steal the Afikoimen as a zecher for the Lo Yecherat Kelev L'Shoinoi. I'll tell you over a vot which is a little bit more al pi the Arizal. We know that it says in the Haggadah, Va'oimalach b'damayech chayi, Va'oimalach b'damayech chayi. So what are the two damayechs? Now, we know it says in Svarim that the only way a person can exist and survive until Mashiach comes is with the koyach habitochen. Without koyach habitochen, a person can't exist in this world. In the Arizal it says that the shame of the Ribbono Shel of Bitochen is the shame Ayin Dalet. 74 is the shame HaBitochen, and it's very famous. Arizal brings a pasuk, Bitchi Bashem Adei Ad. You should have belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam until Ad, till the letter Ayin Dalet. Ayin Dalet is Begematria 74. That's what is written in the Arizal. Ki Yedua, there are two things that a person must do in order to survive. One is that a person has to have bitochen, like we said, and the other is that a person has to have mesiris nefesh. Where do you see that a person has to have mesiris nefesh and bitochen in order to have the proper mesiris nefesh? And that's totally in the shame ayin dalid. If you take a look in Shema in the Torah, Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekeni Hashem Echod. There's a big ayin and there's a big dalid. Why is there a big ayin and there's a big Dalid in the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? The reason is because the Shem Ayin Dalid, the midah of Bitochen, needs to be there in order to have the proper Mesiris Nefesh. If you take a look in the words Domayach, the Mem is 40, the Chof is 20, the is 60, the Yud is another 10, the Dalet is 4, is Begematria 74. V'oimalach b'damayach chayi, v'oimalach b'damayach chayi, with the shame Ayin Dalet of Mesiris Nefesh, and also the shame Ayin Dalet, which is in the Korban Pesach, you're also going to be able to survive in order to be able to get to survive in this golus. How do you see the Korban Pesach also has the Shem Ayin Dalet? Well, if you take a look at the Korban Pesach, you really have to have both qualities to do the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach number one represented Bitochen. How did Korban Pesach represent Bitochen? Because they were told, just drop everything, do the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and you'll be able to get out of golus. And Korban Pesach also had in it the Inyan of Mesiris Nefesh. How did it have the Inyan of Mesiris Nefesh? Because in the Korban Pesach, it was the greatest Mesiris Nefesh. They took the Avoid Zora of the Mitzriim, and they shechted it in the face of the Mitzriim. Now, that for that reason, the word Pesach is Begematria 2 times the Shem Ayin Dalet. 74 times 2 is Begematria Pesach. And that's Pshad, V'oy Malach, B'damayachayi, in the schus of the two Shem Ayin Dalets that actually exist, that's the way that a person can survive in this world. And that's Pshad in the Pasuk. Ad Yavor Amtcha Hashem, Ad Yavoy Amzi Kaniso. You have to survive. Ad Yavoy. You have to go through the two Ayin Dalets. Ad Yavoy Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavoy Amzi Kaniso. We'll say over a word on the Rusha. We know that there's an interesting Lushan in the Haggadah by the Rusha. It says, Va'af Ata Hake Yeshinov. You should also go and knock out his teeth. It's the idea that there's many Shtiklach Torah written. What's the Inyan of knocking out the teeth of the Rusha? What does that mean? You're going to knock out his teeth. teeth. I'll tell you over an interesting verse which is written in the Sefer Bnei Yisoscha. The Bnei Yisoscha writes as follows. And more than that, the Bnei Yisoscha asks, he says, usually when we have a person that's a Rusha, we try to be Makarif him. And if we try to be Makarif him over here, we not only tell him that he's not going to get out, but we also tell him that he's Ili Hayisham Loi Hayunigal. What's going on here with the Rusha? So the Bnei Yisoscha says, makes a very interesting point. He says, you see, all over, whenever we refer to Rishuim, we do refer very often to their teeth. For example, we write, Shinei Rishuim Shibarta, the teeth of the Rishuim you broke. What's Pshat Shinei Rishuim Shibarta? This is another Pursik. We say, Baruch Hashem, we thank the Rebbein Shalom, Shaloi Nesinuni, he didn't give us, Teref as bait, Lishineim to their teeth. Why are we talking about the teeth of the Rusha all that much, and why over here do we say Hakei es Shinov? So the Bnei Yisoscha writes a Gevaldig Pshat. He says, if you take a look in the Zoya says that the letter of Shin is the letter of Emes. That's what the Zoya writes, that the letter Shin is the letter of Emes. Now the Emes is, if you take a Rusha, anything in this world, as bad as it is, if it's not a little bit Koyach HaKadusha, it cannot exist. Even the bad Maluchim, I mean, the Samach Mem has the letters Aleph Lamed in it. If you ever go and you take out the shame of the Rebbeinu Shleilim from something, automatically it cannot exist. There's a Gevaldige Vort they say over from Reb Shamshon Ostropolye. Reb Shamshon Ostropolye once said on Pesach, on Purim, to be Mefarish, a very famous Medrash. If the Gemara says, "Bepnei Ma Nischayvi Yisrul Shebeoises Man Kloya," so the Medrash tells us, "Bepnei Shanasi Moch." Rush. Klai Yisrael became Moch and Rush. That's what the Medrash tells us. Miyad Pusach Esther. Immediately Esther opened her mouth. V'amr, and she said, Keili, Keili, Lumaz Avtoni. That's a very famous, very, very famous Medrash on Megillah. So Shamshon Ostropolye once was Mavarit very beautifully. He said as follows. He said, we know that anything in the world cannot exist only if it has a Chiyas in it, and the Chiyas has to be given by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Any Malach, good or bad, what happens is, that Malach has in it its own name. Besides its own name, it has in it something given over from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's how it is in every single item in the world. So the Reb Shamshon Ostropolye said that Klai Yisrael then did a tremendous amount of Averis. Once he did all those Averis, what happened was they lost their Koyach Achiyas. Klai Yisrael exists on two different Koyaches. One Koyach Klai Yisrael exists on is the Koyach of Yisrael, right? That's one Koyach Klai Yisrael exists on. And what's the other Yisrael is Oisius Keili in Yisrael. The other Koyach Klai Yisrael exists on is on the Malach Michul. So the Gemara said, the Medrash tells us rather, that once they went and Klai Yisrael was Chayta and the shame of Hashem was removed, they had no Koyach to exist anymore. And therefore what happened? Klai Yisrael became Mach because it was Michul without the Keili, and Klai Yisrael became Rosh because it was Yisrael without the Keili. So the Medrash, Miyad Pusach Esther right away started. What did she say? Keili, Keili, Luma Azavtoni. She put the Keili back into the Yisrael, the Keili back into Malach HaRachmim of Michul, and automatically it was Keili, Keili, Luma Azavtoni. That's what's brought down in Reb Shamshon Ostropolye. But Nachli and Eni, let's go back to the Bnei Yisoscha. The Bnei Yisoscha says as follows. He says, we know that Arusha is Oisi is Ra. Arusha is bad. That's what Arusha is. And something which is bad should not be able to have any Chiyas on its own. What did the Rebbeinu Shleilim do in order to give Chiyas to the Arusha? What was the trick of the Rebbeinu Shleilim? So the Rebbeinu Shleilim went and took Shin, with the Shin the Zoya says is the Ois of Emes. And Emes always has the ability to exist. And therefore, the Rusha has a ability to have Chiyas. Now, what happens if the Rusha goes and he's choited to the extent where he has no intentions of ever coming back? Then the Rebbeinu Shleilim goes and the Rebbeinu Shleilim removes from him the Shin. And once he removes from him the Shin, so he has no koyach to exist anymore. So the Bnei Yisoscha, that's the pusik. Oi l'rusha ra. Bad is to a Rusha when he turns into ra. There's not a Rusha, there's no Shin anymore, but he remains totally as bad. So the Bnei Yisoscha says, that's the pusik. Baruch Hashem, shaloi nesanuni, terev l'shinei. The couple of schusim that Arusha has, and that's those schusim he has koiches, and therefore he can make us miserable. Where does that come from? From the letter of Shin. So we say, Baruch Hashem, we thank the Rebbeinu Shalom, Sheloi Nisanuni Teref, he didn't make us bait, Lishinehem, to their Shin. Because once we become bait to the Shin, that's where their koich lies. We understand Pshat in this whole memory here with the Rusha. Half of the Gezach, what the Bnei Tzatzcha says. The Bnei Tzatzcha says that we know that Vayikti Vayishtachi, right, they thanked the Rebbein Shalom on the Besairis Habunim. What were we thanking Hashem on the Besairis Habunim? That even when children are going to be bad, there's always hope that they can come back. But if once somebody's Hoitzi Asim in Aklal, and he writes himself all off totally, what is he should know that he's not going to exist anymore, because the Rebbein Shalom is going to take away from him the koyach hashin, and then he's going to fall away totally. So therefore, Dr. Meyer, we say va'af ata hakei yashinov, remove his shin. Once you remove his shin, he's left with ra, and then he has no koyach achias, and therefore he goes and he removes himself totally from the klal. I'll repeat to you another couple of ideas, but there's a Gevalde Gevart, which is written from the Chidu. I saw it in other Hagudas with a greater amount of Hechuva, but the Chidu writes as follows. The Chidu says that we know the Dalet Koisis are a remes, besides the famous remes that we said before, the four Lashonis of Geula, but it's Keneged, the four things which Klal Yisrael was Mitziyunim, which was special when they went into Gulas. What were those four things today with the Mitziyunim? Hiyadiyah, one was Shmam, Lashini as Shemam, Lashini as Lashonim, Lashini Malbisham, and the third one is Shalehoya Behem, the fourth one rather is, the Medrash tells us, Shalehoya Behem Daltirim. They didn't speak Lashon Hara one on each other, and the Schis of these four in Yunim, they were Zoicha, that's the reason why we have a Inyan in drinking four kaises of Yayin. There's a Gevalde Gevot which is written in the Masham. The Masham says as follows. We know that there's a minig when you say the Hisha Amdu, you pick up the kais. What's the Inyan in picking up the kais when we say the Hisha Amdu? Zukta Masham as follows. He says, we know the Gemara tells us that a Geffen has one Maila, and the Maila of the Geffen is that it's not Mekabel Hakuva. The Geffen, as much as you graft it, will always remain as a Geffen. That's what the Gemara tells us. So he says, if you want to know why we were Zoicha to remain as a Kliasrol. Vihi sha'amdu la'vesein in veluni. What's the vihi? What's it referring to? It's referring to the Kais Hayayin. The Kais Hayayin is, as we know it says, Geffen Mitzrayim Taifiyah. The Rebbein Shlom took us out because we were like a Geffen, and we refused to mingle amongst the Goyim. We refused to mix with the Goyim. And therefore, the Rebbein Shlom went and took us out of the Gulas Mitzrayim. But I want to say over this word, and we'll take it to a little bit of a deeper level, in the Ari HaKodesh is written that the Dalet Koises are connected the four letters of the Shem Havayah. That's what's written in the Ari HaKodesh. Now, in order to understand that, let's go back to the Vot of the Chidu. We know that the Arba Koises have four things what their Merum is on, and if we'll take each item in the Dalet Koises, what its Merum is on, and then we'll understand each letter in the Shem Havayah, what its Merum is on, and we'll understand the meaning of the Dalet Koises. The four things were Shmam, Lashoinam, Malbisha, and Lehoya Behem Daltirim. Now, if you take a look, it says the four letters of the Shem Havayah. The first letter of the Shem Havayah, Kiyudua, is one is Merim is against Tefillin, one is against Tefillah, one is against Tzitzis, one is in Kriyishma. That's what is brought in different forms. As far as Samus brings it a lot, other forms bring it too. So, therefore, the Tefillin, where do you see that the name of Hashem is in the Tefillin? Verui Kol Amei Ha'uretz Ki Shem Hashem Nikre Alecha. The Gemara tells us that refers to the Tefillin Shel Rosh. So Shem Hashem is in the Tefillin Shel Rosh. That's the first kais. L'shini es Shemam. What's the next one? L'shini es L'shoinam. What do we know? It says Shema, the Gemara tells us. B'chol Lushin Shatah Shemeya. Shatah Shemeya. The Sfasema says Shema B'chol Lushin Shatah Shemeya means that in every single word that comes out of your mouth, Chol Lushin Shatah Shemeya, on that word should be a stempel of Olmach HaShemayim. The third one is Tzitzis. That's quite obvious that Tzitzis is the Malbishim, right? Veris Noise Ischatem. And of course, the last one is Daltirim. We know Kiyadua, the Yaris Dvash, tells us a very famous word that the dibber of a person is totally that a person should have the ability to daven, it's totally you shouldn't say lushon hara. And once a person doesn't say any lushon hara, he's guaranteed, this person is guaranteed that he's not going to have any problems with tefillah. So that's the inyan, the four lashonis of the four kaises are connected, the four different things that Klai Yisrael went and was medagdik on, and therefore the Arizal writes that each one is connected to another one of the oisius of the Shem Havaya, because amongst the oisius of the Shem Havaya, in each one we see the remes of that specific item. Rabbi Belsky once told me that he used to go on Shabbos Hagul, he used to go hear Moshe Feinstein speak, and after he used to hear Moshe Zecharon Bruchah speak in the Lower East Side, he would walk over the bridge and he would catch the tail end of Rabbi Yonason Steif's Shabbos Hagul Dursha. So he tells me that one year he heard a vote from Rabbi Yonason Steif that always stood out in his mind, a remarkable pshat vote he said over to him. And the vote was as follows. The vote was, if you take a look in the Haguda, it says, Vayehi b'yom rab mahaim, and Klai Yisrael went, Vayezuki, they went and they screamed. Then it says, Vatal shavusam el lekim min ha'avoida. So if you take a look at the Haguda, I can't be ma'arach now because we're running out of time, but it says there as follows. It says that the Klai Yisrael went, and it was in those times, they went, and Vayonchi, they screamed, right, Vayezuki. And it seems like there's like no reaction. They scream, and big deal. Then suddenly one day, Vatal Shavusam El Lekim Min HaAvoida, their Shavusam, their scream went up to the Ribbono Shel Olam Min HaAvoida, ah! Then Vayishma Hashem Eskeleni, Hashem suddenly listened. So it's like interesting, in the Aguda, the Klai Yisrael had Kershi Hashibet, they screamed, and the Ribbono Shel Olam ignored them. Then what suddenly happened was that they one day, the scream went up to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he listened. So what's going on over here? So Eisenstein said over a very beautiful idea. Eisenstein said, you have a person, he goes out to work, and he works very, very hard, and see, he has backbreaking labor, and he comes home every single night at 11, 12 o'clock at night, and what does he say to himself? He comes home and he says to his wife, this is not a life. This is a life. What is it? This is ridiculous. I'm working so hard. I have no time to enjoy myself. I have no breathing space. This is not what it's all about. All right, but then he goes back to work. He keeps on doing the same thing, and he works harder and harder and harder, and he makes more money. But one day he comes home and he says, he makes a cheshbon nefesh on the way home. You know, I have a family. I have children. I'm supposed to be mechanech them. I'm supposed to learn Torah with them. I'm supposed to go to a shir at night. And he suddenly says to himself, what kind of life is this? I'm working just in order to work and work and work, and what is going to be with me? What is this all about? So Rabbi Yonason Steif says, what's the difference between the first person and the first statement and the second statement, and which one is Rabbi Yonason going to listen to? The first time, he complained, he's working hard. No, listen, you're working hard, a lot of people work hard, what can you do? The second time he complained that I'm working so hard that I forget about my whole ruchnistic life. I forget that I have to learn, I forget I have to be mechanach, I forget about all the Yiddishkeit. What kind of life is this? So Rabbi Yonason Steif touched beautifully what it says here in the Haguda. He says, and what happened? And Klai Yisrael went, Vayezuki. They screamed. All right, so Rabbi Shalom said, you're screaming. I'm sorry to hear that. A lot of people have, work hard, and you're screaming. I'm very sorry to hear this story. But then suddenly one day, Gevaldik, what he says over here, Vatal Shavusam El Ha'elekim Min Ha'avoida. When Vatal Shavusam, the Gishrei that went up, El Ha'elekim, over getlachkeit was minho avoida, greater than the scream from the avoida itself, the shava, the screaming, el elikim, sinyunim of getlachkeit was minho avoida, greater than the screaming to the Rebbeinu Shalom because of the work itself. Demos vayishma elikim. That's when the Rebbeinu Shalom actually goes and listens. Let me be misayim with one vod. This vod happens to be, it's written by the Brisker Ruv and it's written by the Gru. Each one writes it with a little bit of a different girsa. I'll say it over the way it's written by the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that we know that the Kiyadiyah, that the Apikursim said that the Rebbeinu Shloim that Cholila, that created day, is not the same Rebbeinu Shloim that created night. How did they know that the Rebbeinu Shloim that created the day is not the Rebbeinu Shloim that created night? Because they said that night is something which is inferior. And since night is something which is inferior, if the Rebbeinu Shloim of night could have created day, why would he have created night in the first place? That is that's how the Voida said over from the Vilna Goyen. That's what the Apikursim actually said. And he says that that's why they made it bracha. Yoitzer Oiri Voida Choyshech, to show that the Rebbeinu Shalom actually went and created day. Zokta Vilna Goyen created night and day. When is it going to be proven? When is it going to be proven beyond the shadow of doubt that the Rebbeinu Shalom created day and the Rebbeinu Shalom created night? When Mashiach comes. Why? Because when Mashiach comes, what's suddenly going to happen? The night is going to suddenly be day, because the Levun is going to become as great as the Chama, right? And suddenly the night is also going to be like day. So you're going to see that the Rebbeinu Shalom didn't only create the day, but the Rebbeinu Shalom went and created the night too. And the Gun Tachas, that's Pshat, what we say. Ur Chudesh al Tzion Tuer. After there's going to be a Ur Chudesh on the world, then V'niskech Kiluni B'mhei Eloiri. What's going to happen is then everyone's going to realize that Baruch Atah Hashem Yoitzer HaMoiris, that the Rebbeinu Shalom created all the Meiris, because he's going to be able to take day and night and make and create both of them. Now, what is it going to be called when you're going to have a day which is going to be not day and not night? You have a third item here suddenly. It's not going to be called day. It's not going to be called night. So the Gun says that's going to be called lo yoim v'lo laila, right? That's going to be neither one. So we have day and we have night, and that is going to be a third entity which is called lo yoim v'lo laila. So just Vilna Gaon teaches beautifully the siyum of the Haggadah. He says, we say to the Ribbono Shloim kurev yoim ashehi lo yoim v'lo laila. Let it come already the day which is lo yoim v'lo laila, which is the day when Mashiach comes. It's not going to be called day, it's not going to be called night. And what's going to happen through that? Ram, we say to the Ribbono Shloim, Ram, hoida, prove to the world, ki l'chu hayoim, aflachu halayla, that you created, not just you created the day, but aflachu halayla, you created the light too. And when it's going to happen, when it's going to be tuir ka'or yoim, cheshkes layla, then it will be proven that everything is from the Ribbono Shloim.